and Brother Chris. God bless you. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to invite you to find a very familiar place. If you are a member of Emory Baptist Church or a regular attender of Emory Baptist Church, I'm going to invite you to find Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 and verse 27. This morning I want to share a message with you entitled, "By What Authority?" or "By Whose Authority?" I say this is a very familiar place for Emory Baptist Church because after several Sundays away from Mark's Gospel, it feels so good to me to be back home, so to speak. It was one Sunday that we had deacon ordination, and then the COVID-19 crisis caused us to change some things, and so we spent two Sundays in Philippians chapter 4. And so it is with great anticipation, and again as well, comfort, that we return here to Mark's Gospel. And it's also very appropriate, because as we have mentioned on several occasions, and we have sung so well this morning through Brother Chris's leadership and our accompanists, on this Palm Sunday, here in Mark chapter 11, we find ourselves in the middle of Passion Week. Passion Week, the last week of Jesus' life here on earth. And let me just remind you of the events of Sunday and Monday and the beginning of Tuesday. And by the way, I just also want to let you know, you've been so encouraging and so kind with your words and your comments to me about our daily devotionals in the book of Proverbs. Well, in Passion Week, starting today, later this afternoon, I'm going to take a break from the book of Proverbs and going to be reading with you through the Gospel of Matthew and these last days of Jesus' life on earth. And so tonight we will look at, for just a few moments, Matthew chapter 21. And we'll read what happened on Sunday. And then tomorrow we'll gather again virtually at your convenience. And we'll read, well, what happened on Monday and Tuesday, etc., all the way through next Sunday morning. Next Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning. Unfortunately, we won't be able to gather together in person. And it will be a very unusual Easter. Easter won't be canceled, but it will be different. It will be unique. But be encouraged, brothers and sisters, because that first Easter was unusual. That first Easter was unique. That first Easter was like no other. And it would change the world forever. So I hope that you'll be able to tune in with us next Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday morning, as well as reading in Matthew's Gospel about Passion Week and the last week of Jesus' life. It was on Palm Sunday that the Lord Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey's colt. And there was a small group behind him. There was a small group in front of him. And they were hailing Jesus as the promised Messiah. And as an act of worship, they were taking off their outer garments and they were putting them on the ground for Jesus to walk upon, along with palm branches. a fulfillment of prophecy, and a sign of their worship, and the reason why we say Palm Sunday. And then at the end of Sunday, Jesus and his disciples returned to Bethany, a suburb of Jerusalem, probably staying at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And on Monday morning, Jesus and his disciples returned to Jerusalem. And if you'll remember, on that Monday morning, as they passed that fig tree, and Jesus saw that fig tree full of leaves, but void of figs. And in a foreshadowing of his judgment on Israel, and reminding us that saving faith, if it is saving, will bear fruit, Jesus cursed that fig tree and then made his way into the extremely busy temple. And unfortunately, busy with no good. There were those that were selling animals to be sacrificed, but selling them at exorbitant prices. Certainly, supply was low and demand was high, and therefore prices were raised, unfairly raised. Jesus saw that, and he was angered. And Jesus saw the money changers as they were exchanging money that was required to pay the annual temple tax, and charging an exchange rate that was unfairly high, because again, supply was low and demand was high, and therefore prices were high. And Jesus was angered. And he saw so many simply using the court of the Gentiles as a shortcut through the temple to the other side of Jerusalem. And he was angered. And so he cleansed the temple on that Monday. And that Monday evening made his way back to Bethany. Spend the night. And Tuesday morning, coming back into Jerusalem, and remember, so many Jews, thousands and thousands and thousands, had come to Jerusalem in preparation for the celebration of the Passover on Thursday. And as they passed that same fig tree, and the disciples noticed that it had withered from the roots up, Jesus took the opportunity to explain to them and to educate us on the effectiveness of prayer, and how the effectiveness of prayer in our lives is dependent upon us bearing fruit. It's dependent upon our faith, and more faith in the mountain mover than in the mountain, and our forgiveness. Forgiving each other as God has forgiven us. And that then brings us to Mark chapter 11 and verse 27. Follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read, beginning in verse 27 and through the end of the chapter. It says, "Then they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him. And they said to him, 'By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'I will also ask you one question. Then answer me. And I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, they feared the people. For all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. And so they answered and said to Jesus, we do not know. And Jesus answered and said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Notice with me, if you will, back in verse 27, notice some inquiring minds. It says in verse 27 that Jesus and his disciples came again to Jerusalem. Remember, staying in Bethany in the evenings with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, we believe. And then there is this group. As he was walking in the temple, perhaps he was going back to the temple to see if the change that he made on Monday was intact. This group, made up of chief priests and scribes and elders, we see a little bit about what they were about. As the end of verse 27 says, they came to him. They approached him. They initiated with him. They had a bone to pick with him, if you will. And we think about this group. This group, often all together, called the Sanhedrin. And they were the governing body of Jewish religious life. And you might think of them in this way. The chief priest, perhaps similar to our executive branch of government. And the scribes, perhaps similar to our legislative branch of government, the experts in the law, similar to our senators and our representatives, our congressmen and women. And then the elders, the one who would decide on matters of dispute, perhaps similar to our judicial branch. But they came to him, and verse 28 says, they said to him, and there are two questions here. By what authority are you doing these things? Or in other words, Jesus, what are your credentials? You see, you did something on Monday that no one else had ever done. You didn't ask our permission. You didn't seek our advice. You didn't want to know what we thought. By what authority are you doing these things? By what authority did you cleanse the temple? By what authority are you teaching the way that you're teaching? And then a second question. And who gave you this authority? Who gave you this authority? Who is your boss? We want to know his name because we have a problem with what you've done. Some inquiring minds. But notice, secondly, there in verse 29, notice an implied message. But Jesus answered and said to them, and he's about to do something that he does often. He answers a question with a question. Very effective for Jesus. And an opportunity to teach. An opportunity to share a message. And he says, I will ask you one question. Notice his one question, to their two questions, because essentially their two questions asked the same question. I will ask you one question, then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. And what Jesus was saying was that their answer to him would be the same as his answer to them. And so here's Jesus' one question in verse 30. The baptism of John, but not just the baptism. The baptism of John, the ministry of John, the teaching of John, and this is John the Baptist. Was it from heaven or from men? And when Jesus said, was it from heaven, he essentially was saying, was it from God? Was it divine or from men? And then at the end of verse 30, you see a little bit of Jesus' tone. We see on the pages of Scripture his tone and his directness. Answer me. Here's the implied message. The implied message is that Jesus and John were on the same team. And Jesus and John had the same boss. And Jesus and John had the same mission. That's the implied message that Jesus was sharing and teaching when he was asking his one question. Which then takes us to a third observation. We have seen some inquiring minds. We have seen an implied message. And thirdly, I want you to see some ignorant men. Now please understand that I'm not necessarily using that term ignorant as a derogatory term. I'm simply using it according to its definition, without knowledge. And that's what these men will say about themselves in verse 33. We don't know. We don't have knowledge. There are many things of which I am ignorant. I don't have knowledge. Verse 31, they, the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, they reasoned among themselves. They went back and forth and they reminded us of their two options. If we say from heaven, or remember also this is to say, if we say that John the Baptist, that his baptism, his ministry, his teaching, if we say he was from God, then certainly Jesus will say, why then did you not believe him? If he was from God, and you're supposedly followers of God, why then did you not follow him? Why then did you not follow God? They answered from heaven. They would stand condemned. And so they considered the second option. Verse 32. But if we say from men, in other words, if we say not from God, but from men, they feared the people. For all the people counted John the Baptist to have been a prophet indeed. Can I say just a word here to moms and dads, to parents, to all adults who have tuned in with us this morning. So many times we think that peer pressure is something reserved for children, older children, teenagers, college students. Oh no. Peer pressure is an issue for adults, as evidenced by these men. They feared the people. And can I just also say to you this morning, brothers and sisters, that it is always right to do the right thing, regardless of what other people think or say. It's always right to do the right thing, regardless if your reputation suffers, regardless of what others may say about you. They were torn from heaven or from men. Verse 33, so they answered and said to Jesus, we do not know. Or in other words, we don't have knowledge. Or in other words, we are ignorant men. And Jesus answered and said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. You see, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, they had put themselves as the authority over the temple. And Jesus had come through and he had cleansed the temple and subverted their authority. And so in this entire experience, this entire dialogue, Jesus was demonstrating this truth. How in the world could they be the authority if they could not discern the difference between God and man? And in fact, Jesus was the true authority because he was sent by God. And Jesus was the real authority because he was God in the flesh. And so can I leave you this morning with two applications? The first, ignorance isn't always bliss. You're probably familiar with that cliche. Ignorance is bliss. What that means is that so many times when we don't have knowledge, that we can go on with business as usual, if you will, without negative consequences. My ignorance of some truth or some experience is blissful. It is without problem, it is without concern, it's without anxiety. But yet, as it relates to Jesus Christ and what you do with Jesus Christ, ignorance is not bliss. So many in our world today think, well, if I simply don't reject him, then I'll be okay. But in reality, the truth is, if you don't receive Jesus as the promised Messiah, if you don't receive Jesus as the Savior of the world, if you don't receive Jesus as God in the flesh, at the same time, you are rejecting him. you are rejecting Him as the promised Messiah. You are rejecting Him as the Savior of the world. You are rejecting Him as God in the flesh. To not receive Him is to reject Him. And so today, this morning, wherever you may be tuning in from, if you have never received Jesus as Savior of your life, today I invite you to do so. I invite you to admit that you're a sinner, as are we all. I invite you to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and in your place for your sin that separates you from a holy God, because He did that for you. And I invite you to receive Him, or to call upon Him to save you from your sin. Because I don't want you to get the end of your time on this earth and to have to answer for your sin. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and in your place and answered for your sin Himself, would you receive Him today? Would you call upon the name of the Lord to save you? And then there's a second application, and this is for my brothers and sisters in Christ. If you have received Jesus as your Savior, are you also living like He is Lord? Say, Brother Richard, what do you mean? Well, that word Lord in the language of the New Testament is kurios, and it means boss, it means master, it means the one who is in charge, the one who is in control, the one who sits on the throne of your heart. And I want to direct your attention to some very convicting words from the mouth of the Lord Jesus in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Why do you call me Lord? Why do you say with your mouth that I'm the boss and I'm the one who's in charge and I'm the one who sits on the throne of your heart? Why do you say that with your mouth, but you don't do the things that I say to do? Why do you say that you honor me with your marriage, but you're not? Why do you say that your finances are surrendered to me, but they're not? Why do you say that you want to raise your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, but you don't? Why do you say that I'm Lord, but yet you live differently day to day? See, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ demonstrated His authority here at the end of Mark chapter 11. He demonstrated His authority here on Tuesday of Passion Week by cleansing the temple and letting the Jewish religious leaders of the day know that I am the promised Messiah. I am the Savior of the world. I am God in the flesh. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And again, I'm going to pray for you. And if you're here this morning, tuned in with us, and you have never received Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, I'm simply going to ask you to perhaps repeat after me as I pray, wherever you may be this morning, with sincerity and honesty, receiving Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. And if you already have received Christ as Savior of your life, and you're a brother or sister in Christ, and yet your life is not reflective of such, I'm just going to ask you to go to the Lord in prayer also. And just invite the Lord to point out to you, here are some things that needed to be changed. And as you do that, commit today to taking those initial steps of living your life with Jesus as the Lord. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Again, if you've never received Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, would you just simply pray similarly as I pray? Dear Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. And I recognize that my sin separates me from God. Please forgive me. Please take all of my sin away. Please wash me as white as snow. And please help me to live a life that is honoring to you. Jesus, save me from my sin and be my Savior and be my Lord. Amen. And I want you to know that if you prayed that prayer this morning honestly and sincerely, then the Bible tells us whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's no guessing, no hoping, no wondering. If you prayed honestly, if you prayed sincerely, then you've been saved. We want to know about that at Emory Baptist Church. Please let us know about that by connecting with us either on our Facebook or through our website. We'd love to hear from you. And for my brothers and sisters in Christ, may we live this next week, even in the midst of this COVID-19 crisis, even in the midst of Passion Week, let us live with Jesus not only as Savior, but as Lord of our lives, in all that we say and all that we do. As I've said previously, and as many of you have already concluded, this will seem to be our pattern for the Sundays in April. Gathering together online, virtually. And so let me encourage you to continue to tune in with us on Facebook or emorybaptist.org. Let me also encourage our members to continue to be faithful and generous in your financial giving during these difficult times. If you're able to give, we want you to know that you can still bring your tithes and offerings by the church office. You're more than welcome to mail them to P.O. Box 248. If you want to use your online banking to send us a check, we would greatly appreciate that. And certainly you can always give 24 hours a day, 7 days a week through emorybaptist.org. God bless you for being with us today. Don't forget that I'll be back this evening to remind us of what took place in Jesus' life on Palm Sunday from Matthew 21. So I hope to see you there. Brother Chris is going to lead us in our benediction. Again, God bless you today for tuning in with us.